It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 438. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Facebook, send me a friend request, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And we also got the wiki, that is mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, and you can get to the show notes. And if you have any question getting to an older show, email me, because I usually can fix it and get you the right link. So that's not a problem. Well, it's very strange recording this show on Sunday. I had planned to record the podcast, and we were calling it the End of the World Show, and I was had it scheduled for Friday night, and I was sick all day Friday, and I'm still battling little remnants of it. I just was feeling horrible. I slept all day, and I knew I had a big day planned for Saturday where I was getting up very, very early, and my oldest son and I had plans on going to New York City and seeing a play. My son and I are huge Glengarry Glen Ross fans from the movie from years ago. We wanted to see that because it's on Broadway. Now, when we go in there, we go to the TKTS booth because you take your chances, but sometimes you can get 40, 50% off for the play. So we got up very early, and I'd been tracking that Glengarry Glen Ross had been there at the ticket booth at a discount. So we got up early. We get into the play line. We're like number two in line in New York, and we get tickets for the 2 o'clock matinee. My son and I go to that. We love it. We enjoy it so much. It was incredible. Al Pacino was just phenomenal. We go outside and we're hanging out. A lot of people are leaving. And my son said, hey, why don't we wait around by the stage door here and see, you know, and there's a few other people waiting. You know, are they going to come out? You know, they have an 8 o'clock show to do. Well, first out was Bobby Cannavale. I think I'm pronouncing it right, from Boardwalk Empire. He was phenomenal. He signs our playbills. You know, we get to shake hands, talk with him for a second, and then he jumps into a car. With that, a couple minutes later, Al Pacino comes out, and he was the nicest person and just spent time with everybody, literally, signing autographs, talking, and it was phenomenal. And just to meet Al Pacino and get his autograph, it was phenomenal, and I had a wonderful time, and it was great. This is all part of why Friday I was feeling so bad and sick, and just I literally slept all day, and I just needed to build up my strength. And then I got through Saturday, and what a great time. And I slept in this morning, Sunday, and when I got up, I just felt rejuvenated. I'm still got a little tick in my throat, but I am ready. And I said, you know what, I'm going to tweet and Facebook and say I'm going to do a show this afternoon. So this is the official Christmas show right before Christmas. We will call it the Christmas Eve show. I just want to thank all of you so much for the tremendous year and for supporting the show and supporting the Mike Tech Show. I really, really appreciate it. And I just want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, and just have a happy holiday, have a safe holiday. And I'm just so glad that I was able to do a show before Christmas. Let's get right to it. I have a stack of email that I want to cover. And the first one is, a very long email. And it, matter of fact, it's several pages. But it covers so many different areas. And we're going to try to get through it here. It is from Dane. And he says, I've thoroughly enjoyed your show for a couple years now, and I've learned a lot. Thanks for the time and effort you put into it. I have wanted to comment on some of the topics you've discussed, and I'm finally going to do it. This is not an email you'll want to read on the air, but perhaps it could add some talking points, though. Well, that's because it's just so long, but let's try to get through. Cable. I'm a cable splicer, so you could say I make my living from interrupting people's cable service. Ooh, how about that? If the needed repair is strictly street side, it can be done in the middle of the night, but much of the time it is rear easement, and we can't go walking around making noise in people's backyards at 2 a.m. So this means the job is done during the day. This affects both residential and commercial customers. It is very common for people to come out of their homes telling me they want to work from home and can't have their services interrupted. All I can do is apologize and tell them that I will work as fast as I can, which is what I do anyway. He goes on about the splitters and the fiber, and boy, that's a rough job in the sense that when you are interrupting someone's internet service. And so many people work from home. That's my business. I work from home all the time. I remote in and support and rely on being able to have remote access. I cannot be down. You got to have a backup plan just in case someone is doing maintenance or they're doing work. You know, make sure you work from home. You got a backup plan where you got an air card or some other service that you can rely on or a place to go that you can set up, you know, sort of a portable office and work. Make sure you plan for those things. He has a topic here, home internet server. For about 4 years now, I've been serving files from my home nonstop. I use a free little portable program called HFS, which stands for HTTP File Server. And you can get it here. I'll put that in the show notes. I think I've actually used this a while back. You just double-click the .exe file, and a window opens. You are now serving files. Nothing to install. Just drag and drop it into whatever file you want to share. You can drop in folders and folders within folders with any size and type that you want. It has many options too. You can password protect the whole thing or individual folders or even have hidden folders. It has upload capabilities too, so others can upload to you. It's a great for one-off large file sharing you want to do with a friend or leave it constantly running like I do. If you have a dynamic IP like I do, you can use the free web hop provider like DynDNS. If you want to see an example, here's an address of mine, and I'm not going to publish that. Okay, address bar. A few shows back, you were complaining about getting people to type an address in the actual address bar and not a search bar. I understand that there are times for that, but I encourage people to never use the address bar unless they have to, but to always use the search bar, since a bad site is using a commonly misspelled web address. And you know what? I disagree here, because if you put in place something like OpenDNS, where that will help protect you from phishing sites and misspelled sites. Also, installing something like Web of Trust will also help you in that. So there's a few things that you could put in place. I actually like people actually typing in the address bar. Now, he has a request here about my website. I wish you had a tab page for all the great information you provide, like a database for people to go to on how-tos and the like, even Amazon product links, similar to your software tab. It would draw people to your site, giving your Amazon link more attention. You know, I have always thought about putting an Amazon page up that you could list everything that or everything that I talk about that I buy from Amazon and put it there. That's actually a very good idea. I have my wife using your link, by the way, and she buys entirely too much stuff using it. We seem to get a box on the porch with a smile on it at least once a week. That's awesome. And while he mentions this, use my Amazon link, amazon.mikenation.net, miketechshow.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everybody for using my link for the holidays and just anytime. But right now, you've been pounding away and using it and buying your Christmas gifts. And don't forget, you got time before Christmas. If you don't know what to buy, give an Amazon gift card. Use my link. That would be awesome. And then someone can just choose whatever they want. Then give them my link to buy from it. And you can give me a double commission. I'll get a commission for you buying the card, buying that Amazon card. Then I will also get a commission when they use that card to buy items. That's an awesome way to help support the show, and I really appreciate that. Here's part two of this. Your homepage is a bit confusing. I have the parts of this email separated by a line. There are separation lines on your homepage too, but not between the shows. There is just a slightly bigger gap to show separation. That's because of the theme that I use for WordPress. I think if you made a more distinguished separation between shows, it would be better. I will try to do that, but it may not be easy without going into altering the theme of the way the blog posts are presented. Some things I have a choice on, some things I don't because of the theme that I have selected. The podcast. I have not heard you mention it before, but there is a great little free program called Levelator. I have mentioned this years ago. I'm going to put a link. And Levelator, basically, it helps you level your audio. Now, my leveling takes place within my hardware, so I don't have to do any post audio production except for the editing of the show, but I don't do any leveling or any other compression because that's happening via the hardware. Let me go on here. Audacity's leveler is a big joke in comparison. Now, remember, I don't use that. And it is an EXE, so no installation. The only drawback is that it only works with WAVE or AIFF files, but it is worth the hassle of converting. You can drag and drop multiple files into it too. I'm not complaining about your order, yo. I'm just sharing. Good, because I think my audio is pretty good and I've got that set. Also, it seems that you are in a hurry to squeeze the show into about a half hour. Is there some reason other than your time is at a premium? No, I completely understand that, but if it is because people have complained about long shows, then they can stop listening at the half hour point and shut up. I, for one, welcome a longer show. Years ago, I found a happy medium of time that you don't want to go beyond 45 minutes. And you certainly don't want to hit the hour mark. I've got lots of complaints early on when I was doing my show that when it did hit an hour, and I found that your attention span on listening, I don't want people to just download the show and not listen to it. I want everybody to listen to the show. If you do an hour, it's just too long for your attention, and you're not going to break it up and try to do it in multiple things. It's easier to do the show and have it where I want everybody to listen to it and listen to it in one take. And I found that the sweet spot with not only everybody responding, but talking to other podcasters at the time. And it just seems that half hour to 45 minutes is the sweet spot for the length. And everybody seems to be very, very happy with that, or at least the majority. So that's why I look and see how long it's been and start to wrap up. Now, I will say this. Tech Vets, we go to an hour and sometimes longer, and I don't get complaints. That's a different format, and Carrie and I can get long-winded in our responses, and we need time to talk about the topic thoroughly. So I try not to let that go beyond an hour, and I'm always pushed into a little more than an hour, but I just wanted to explain why the time is, you know, the way it is. He has a NAS section here, Network Attached Storage. Someone once asked me to get the files off of a 2-hard drive NAS device. It wouldn't work, so I opened it and connected the hard drives with the USB to SATA cable. One drive was trash. You could hear things bouncing around inside. That's not good. The other was fine, but the content was useless because of the proprietary file type system. It's like they are holding you hostage. I finally found some software to get the files, but they were all chopped up like going through a shredder. That's because it was probably striped across those drives, and you can't break that up. I would never recommend a NAS to anyone. I so disagree here. Unless it stored the files whole and in a standard format. Is there such a beast? Yes. And if you could recommend one, Synology. Everybody's got their own type of file system because a NAS device has to build in intelligence to your device so you can administrate it. So you need to be able to share out files or create permissions. So everybody's going to have to come up with their own operating system, so to speak. And it's probably going to be Linux-based of some kind of easy to manipulate operating system that they can then proprietize and then put within the NAS device. I love Synology and it just works. But keep in mind that with this network attached storage, if you are going to have some kind of RAID attached, which all NAS devices do, most of them, because of that RAID, whether you're striping it with parity or not, and when I say striping, you can RAID 1, which is mirrored, RAID 0, where you're just striping it across the drives, and if you lose a drive, you're screwed, you lost everything. RAID 5, you got to have 3 drives. Now remember, you can't take those drives out and individually work on them. You're not allowed to do that with any RAID system. I don't care whether it's NAS or in your computer. So don't confuse that. If someone's having trouble with recovering from their drive, that's because, first off, they should have backed up everything. And I don't care if you have a NAS or what. You need to back it up. You may need a second NAS, or you may need a second device drive, you know, something attached somewheres where you're backing it up. Whatever you have, whatever you're storing files, you have to have a backup plan. Freeware. Are you familiar with techsupportalert.com? No, I'm not. It's a great information and comments, and I think it would be a great addition to the software page, but I'll check it out. Dave, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you taking the time to go into all of that. And don't be afraid to send long emails. You know I'll read them. It may take a few weeks to get to them, but I really appreciate it. Thank you. This is from Scott, and this is about backing up to Amazon. I must confess, I don't listen to the show as often as I would like. So if you had previously covered this, I apologize. I heard you talking about backing up to Amazon. I wanted to pass on another great approach that may be good for some users that are using Amazon Glacier. Scott includes a couple links describing Amazon Glacier, which is just 1 cent per gigabyte per month, but also reminds us that Amazon only indexes the files once a day. So keep that in mind if you upload a file and then now you need to, let's say you accidentally delete it and now you need to get it and you're not indexed, it's going to take some time for retrieval. So keep that in mind. He goes on, however, if you aren't in a hurry, retrieval could be cheap. And this was a video for the Cloudberry software. So I have a link for that. Still, for people who may want to store offsite backups and are unlikely to need a restore, like if they have a local backup, this may be a good solution. Please let me know if you've heard of anyone using Amazon Glacier or Cloudberry software, and if you had heard that they are good products. Scott, thank you. And let me know if you've used this and you've had good or bad experiences, please share that. Always want to hear about lessons from cloud backups, because we all can learn from recommendations from someone who uses a product, or you know, you've just seen a product that you're thinking of using, and or if you have bad experiences, good experiences. Not only do we all as listeners here and myself need good recommendations, but our clients, if we're in the business of recommending cloud backup services, it's always good to have feedback. This is from Chris. And remember, Amazon pulled away the free Google apps. And I mentioned Zoho, which I've been working with a little bit with a client. He says, "Hey, Mike, let me say thank you for the time you put into the show. I listen to both Tech Vets and the Mike Tech Show. I had some last-minute Christmas shopping and used your Amazon link." Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that. "I used to use Zoho for remote support, and I loved the company when I did. I only switched because they didn't allow rebooting, and they might now." So very interesting. They don't allow remote rebooting. Now, log me in. I love that because I can do remote reboots. I use Instant House Call. You can do remote reboots. There's lots of other options out there. But, you know, interesting, speaking of Zoho, this is from Lance. "Mike, I've been using Zoho for about 2 weeks for my magic business. I love it. I did it when I heard about Google Apps. I then learned about its other apps, such as CRM and invoicing and accounting software. I'm still learning about it. Plus, I recently got a domain name for $2.95 per year, which I'm excited about to get my new magic business to look professional and organized. Lance, thank you." Now, a reminder about Zoho. You only are allowed 3 accounts for free. If you need more, then it costs. That's for email. This is from Kevin. "You can still get that free Google Apps account." Okay. "There's a limitation," and he has a link here. "Using the Google App Engine website, you can still create a free Google Apps account. It claims it's only for one user, and it is just for one user. And I have not completed the entire setup to verify, but that the article states you may be able to add more users. No, you cannot. And if you do, you're going to go into a pay scenario. Worth checking out. All you need is a Gmail account." Now, keep in mind, you're only allowed one account. So if that's all you need, I think you can still have a Google Apps for one account using this procedure. Win 8 Start Button. This is from Kevin. "I'm listening to your podcast where you mentioned Win 8 Start Button related programs. I saw this and thought it might be worthwhile." Now, this is a link to a self-made start button. Now, I'm going to include this link, but it does not truly restore the functionality of the original start button. What it does is it puts a start button and links to the apps menu of the Metro interface. Well, that's not what we want. I'm going to put this in there because it's a way to have a quick link to the apps functions and the apps listing in the Metro interface, but it is not a replacement of your original start button that you are used to with Windows XP and Windows 7. Right now, it's the classic shell, which is free, or I think it's Start 8 by Stardocs, which I like, and it's only $5, and that's a nice replacement, and it can also get you that Windows 7 theme that everybody's familiar with. This is from Jason, and this is about some cloud computing. Hi, Mike. Thank you for all that you do. I really appreciate the tremendous effort you put in to putting out your podcast every week. I have found a cloud backup solution that's too good to be true. It must be the end of the world. I wish I could be there for your live End of the World podcast this Friday. Since I am not able to be there, I thought I would share with you End of the World gift to you and your listeners. This is great. I have found simply the best free cloud backup called Duplicati, Duplicati. It securely stores encrypted AES 256 encryption before upload, incremental compressed backups on cloud storage services and remote file servers. It blows out of the water all the paid cloud file backup solutions. To top it off, they even have Windows, Linux, and Mac OS versions. Best of all, you can combine all of your free or paid backup sources into one combined backup solution: Amazon S3, Windows Live, SkyDrive, Google Drive, Google Docs, Rackspace, Cloud Files. For example, you can create a photo backup set to SkyDrive, a document to Google Drives, and etc. to maximize the use of your free cloud storage. You can use traditional full incremental compressed backups to conserve bandwidth too. And he's got more details here and a link. And this is Jason, and Jason is the operator of the great site fantasticfreeware.com. Thank you, Jason. But here's my caveat. Anything that's free, I worry about. And putting sensitive information and using free services, it's free. Be careful. What is their business model? How are they going to stay in business? How are they going to make money? I'd want to look further into that, and I haven't yet, but I encourage you, before you embark upon anything that's free, and especially using and storing files, that you take a look. What is this company's business model? How are they going to make money? Are they going to be around? Are they going to come back and then lower the boom and say, here you go, this is what we're going to charge, which they have the right to. Also, what if they just decide to close up shop? Send you an email, say, we're done. Goodbye. That's it. Your data's gone. That can happen. So keep that in mind. That's why I'm very nervous about cloud storage. I look for companies that have paid models like Envelope, Mosey Pro, Jungle Disk. You know, these are proven companies that have been in business for a while and they are professional. They're compliant with the alphabet soup of compliance like FINRA and HIPAA. You got to be aware of all these things and into your situation. So just keep that in mind. And keep that in mind before you use anything free that you're going to start giving sensitive information to. So it's just my warning to put on that. But you should explore this. So I'm not saying don't look into it. There's plenty of good free services out there. And look what happened with Google Apps. I mean, I'm glad we're grandfathered. I got 4 accounts up there, well, within Google Apps. And don't be surprised if even the, you know, we're grandfathered free for these Google Apps on our domains for free email. But don't be surprised if they come back and say, you know what, we're going to a paid model for everything and expect to pay. This is a frightening little email from Daniel. This is about BitLocker, PGP, and TrueCrypt can be decrypted with a new tool. And this is pretty scary. And I haven't went through this yet, but I'm concerned. Thought I'd pass this along. There's a new forensic tool that can decrypt BitLocker, PGP, or TrueCrypt encryption by somehow finding the passphrase in users' memory or hibernation files. Not sure how this affects full disk encrypted volumes, however. This is pretty frightening. If there's a tool that can find the password of a full encrypted drive, I got problems with lots of my clients. This is a serious link, and from Daniel. Daniel, thank you so much. And Daniel's a serious computer guy. He is a longtime listener and supporter of the show. And I trust him with this link. I'm going to put it in the show notes. I have not had a time to go through this, but I will. And I'm going to go through this over the holidays. But I wanted to put it out there. Make sure you're aware of this. This is from Mike. This is another Mike. You mentioned a few shows back a recommendation for a small business server. I think it was a Dell, but I couldn't remember the model. If you remember, can you pass it along? I usually don't recommend hardware like that. Are you sure I wasn't talking about small business server, the software? There are some very inexpensive Dell servers that can run you under $2,000 that you put together that I feel is worthy of putting small business server on or recommending. I don't have a particular piece of hardware to recommend. What I'll do is take in what are my clients trying to accomplish. Now, I've had to put together a couple server quotes over the last couple weeks, and I've looked into the Dell servers, and some of their lower end models are really, really nice, you know, with some RAID 5 and including the licensing and the software for small business server 2011. Very nice, you know, with their pro support. I love Dell server support. They've been great. Go to Dell.com and start digging through, taking a look. If you want some assistance with helping you put together a package for your business, for maybe a client, contact me. Go to mhsconsulting.net. You'll have links to all the ways to contact the consulting side of my business. I can help you. I have very affordable rates for consultant to consultant that I will really help you out, especially if you're working with another client. And don't be afraid of taking on some server business if you don't have the experience. If you want to partner with me, I would love to do that and remotely support that and help you get through supporting that server deployment. I can be of great assistance for you, so take advantage of that. He continues, I have a friend with a small business, his server, really not a server, it's a WinXP Pro desktop that they primarily use to share files and their QuickBooks database. I would look into NAS, but it looks like QuickBooks is installed and running on this machine alongside the database. I'm not sure, but I don't know this when it changed when he upgraded from an earlier version. Love the show. Don't know how you do it. Thanks, Mike. Well, Mike, I do have some experience with QuickBooks. And the database, they don't need the software running on the machine that the database is housed. So you could use a NAS device to share the QuickBooks database. I actually have a client with that scenario. The only reason they have QuickBooks running is they wanted to use that as a workstation at the same time, and I don't recommend that. If you are running a small business and you have QuickBooks on a machine, don't use that machine as a workstation. You have chances of it being infected, people going to the bad websites or doing something bad. You're going to slow down access to the database. Don't do it. Dedicate a machine to put that database on or a NAS device where no one can use it as a workstation. So you go right ahead. I think a NAS solution would be perfect for your friend. That's all the email for tonight's show. But I have my traditional Christmas music that I play at the end of every show, right before Christmas. It is my favorite Christmas song. I love this song, and I've played it for years and years. So if you're a regular listener, you know what's coming. This is a Christmas canon. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up. That is A Christmas Canon by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, where they take Pachelbel's canon and make just a great twist to it for Christmas. Classic song that I've played for years. I just love it because one of my favorite classical songs is Pachelbel's canon. So I remember the first time I ever heard this, it was just, oh, just chills ran up my back. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. And I will have a link where you can purchase that for like 99 cents from Amazon. I want to thank all of you for supporting the show and downloading it and staying subscribed. It means so much to me. And I wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and be safe. Have a great time and enjoy the holidays. That's it. I will be back one more show before the end of the year. So on Thursday, I will be here between Christmas and New Year's. Same time, same channel. At 8 o'clock on Thursday night, I'll be recording live. And don't forget, there will be the New Year's Eve show. Carrie Holzman and I will be doing a joint show where he's going to start out at 6 o'clock Eastern time, and I'm going to do my best to join him. And then at some point after that, we're going to start recording Tech Vets for Christmas Eve. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.